Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Well, we worked today.
We did.
It was busy.
We worked all day together and did not see each other for more than like 2 minutes.
Right.
It was busy. It was busy. Everybody's getting their holiday shopping done, which is good. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. It's working.
It's a very smart thing to do because Lord knows if we're going to get shut down again.
That's right. Oh my gosh.
There are so many reasons to get holiday shopping done right now. A big one is, there's another surge of COVID coming. So who knows if and when we might have to shut down again.
Books are selling out.
Yeah, exactly. So books are selling out like crazy and it's going to take longer and longer for them to come back into the store. So buy them now, or at least go in and say, do you have this book? And if we don't, we can order it. And at this point, we'll still have it in before the holidays.
Just put your name on it.
Yeah, just put your name on it.
Decide not to take it. Mm-hmm. You can put it on the shelf, but put your name on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, it's great. We've been really busy with people. I was on the kids side today and lots of folks doing their holiday shopping, their Christmas shopping, getting all the stuff for every family member they could think of, which is good. Folks are jumping in early. Of course, it's also the end of November somehow. How did that happen?
I don't know. I'm just,
November has simultaneously been super, super long and also has gone by in the blink of an eye. I'm so confused.
I just want to call out to all those families who came into the store today. Yay, mask protocols. You tiny children. Like, uh-huh. I heard this little girl who couldn't have even been 2 years old saying, "Daddy, help me, my mask fell off."
Aww, what a cutie.
Like, people get it.
Yeah.
They understand now. You got to have your mask on if you want to stay healthy and safe and go have fun at the bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, people have been amazing about masks. So like, thank you to our wonderful, wonderful customers. I haven't had any issues with anyone, kids, adults, like people have been great. At the most, it's like they get so distracted reading a book, they don't realize their mask has slipped down. And, you point it out and they go, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." They pull it back up. People have been amazing, which is great.
And you should also know if you're nervous about coming in, we also have put in HEPA filters around. We keep doors open so the air is circulating.
We've really good ventilation.
I mean, we are doing our best to keep air moving.
And so, we're still doing curbside pickup. So if you're really
and shipping.
Yeah, exactly. And shipping. So if you really don't want to come into the bookstore, like that's totally fine. You can do an order online and have it shipped. You can call and do curbside pickup. Like
also, you can email us a list of people you want to buy a book for. Mm-hmm. Give us a description, age, amount of money you want to spend, what they like. Mm-hmm. And we can personal shop for you and then send you back a list of books that we think are the right thing, or even a list of books and puzzles and toys and games or whatever. We've done this for a whole bunch of people. I got an email from somebody last week. She probably has 10 family members she wants me to pick books for. And we're happy to do that.
Absolutely.
So you never have to come in, and we can mail them out to each individual person, or we can mail them all to you and you can distribute them, or you could curbside pick them up.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to come into the store, let us shop for you.
We have so many ways that we can accommodate you. Like it's, and that's the beauty of indie bookstores, right? It's like, we're a big family. It's like, we'll help you out. You don't want to come in? We got you. You got a whole bunch of people. You don't know where to begin? We got you. We got this. This is what we love.
Yay.
And it's fun. So I have a group of moms that we all had kiddos at right around the same time. And one of them discovered our pick-me-up blind bags and posted about it in our main group. And so now all of my mom friends from all over the country are like, I want one, I want one.
So do they say, Ryan, can you pick me out this blind bag?
Which is adorable. Cracked
me up. It was like somebody wanted a blind bag. I was like, all right, I got this. And I can't remember who was doing the order, but they're like, no, you don't got this, because they requested somebody.
Yeah. Like, which is so cute.
Who is the person who's going to pick out the right stuff
for them? Totally. And we've talked about doing like bookseller specific shopping. So like, I want Kelso to pick out 3 books for me, or I want Michael to pick out 3 books for me, or whatever. You know, we've talked about doing that, which we may still implement at some point. Probably not during the holidays. Well, oh yeah, you can always ask, but we talked about actually having it be like an option on like a, like purchase 3 books selected by Paul, like, you know. We probably won't do that during the holidays, although, again, you can just put it in the notes. Hey, can Ryan pick out a bunch of books for me? Yeah, totally. But it's so much fun, right? Mm-hmm. But I've been cracking up at all the orders coming in for the blind bags. But I was thinking about how those pick-me-ups are actually a really great idea for stocking stuffers.
Yeah.
Because it's $25. And if you just say in the notes, like, I need to fill a stocking for a 6-year-old, or I need to fill a stocking, 3 stockings for, you know, whatever. Like, that's the perfect thing, because we have all these like small little random things, like on the kids' side, on the adult side, all over, that are fairly inexpensive, but like people don't think about them. It's the type of thing that's like, it's like stuff by the register that you don't even notice until you're at the register. So yeah, if you're like suddenly realizing, oh, I have to get a bunch of stocking stuffers, like do a blind bag and just say, hey, can you just like
right
and make, fill up and some make stocking many, stuffers for my kids,
and make as many as possible 3L and under, you know. And so you're gonna get like the $1.99 hedgehog pen,
right? Exactly.
You know, like, they're the cutest, stupidest little things.
Oh, they're probably so silly and adorable,
but they're adorable. And and
stickers, great. Temporary tattoos, little erasers. Cube mazes, erasers, stickers. We have so many random little things.
And I wanted to say, I had someone call me the other day and say, can you go over to the sticker books and explain to me what you have for a 3-year-old who loves trucks?
Aww.
So I was on the ground reading the covers of the sticker books. But these books range in price from like $4.99 to like $10, $12.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend a lot of money to get something that is really delightful, especially for kids, but even for adults. You know, there's things like adult coloring books or bargain books.
Yes.
A great selection of bargain books.
Yes.
And if you can't come into the store because of you're worried about COVID or whatever, call and say, do you have any bargain cookbooks? Do you have any bargain landscaping books? We will walk over there and tell you what we got.
When we first shut down, I actually FaceTimed with a customer. She was like, I think she was shopping for maybe her mom and whoever it was. She was like, you know, we usually come in and we buy a bunch of bargain books. She's like, but you guys are shut down and the bargain books aren't on the website. And so I FaceTimed with her and was just like walking through the sale books, like showing her what we had and giving her ideas and stuff. And it was really cute. And I've actually been meaning to post a photo, and probably maybe by the time this goes up, I'll have a photo on the main Instagram. But our coworker Stacy reorganized the bargain books and they are so beautiful. It looks so nice. The bargain books has always been one of those things that, like, I don't know, it's so daunting to organize them because there's so many tables and there's all different, it's like, do I do it by type of book? Do I do it by fiction, nonfiction? Like, do I do them alphabetically? Do I do them? And she did such a beautiful job, and she organized a lot of them by size. So like the kids' table looks amazing. And
she did it all day.
Yeah.
That's all she did all day. She's a saint.
She's a saint.
But seriously, if you like for kids books, there's a ton of great kids books. There's a ton of great cookbooks. There's a lot of those sort of coffee table gardening and home design books. Also, if you are a fan of mysteries,
so many mysteries.
The backlist of mystery series, like Laura Lippman, there's a ton of that there. Like any of these people that you really love who do mystery series, it's very likely you are going to find some of those books there.
Yeah, that's the thing about the bargain books is it's not like, oh, these books are marked down because no one wants them. It's that like we get them from a company that's like, here's great backlist and you can get it cheaper. You know what I mean? Like there's some really great stuff on there. Every once in a while I walk by the table and I see a bargain book that I bought in hardcover full price. And I'm like, hey, listen, you.
we also have used books.
Yes.
And I noticed the other day there were hardcover first edition Stephen King's.
Yeah.
Whoa.
People.
What? For
that. Yeah, no, seriously. I doubt they're still there because
I was going to say, snap those up.
But seriously, that John Ledun, who is our used book buyer, is a really remarkable curator of used books. He is very picky about what he takes into stock. And it's either quality paperback in very good condition or it's hardcover. And a lot of that hardcover is first edition.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you feel okay about coming out in a mask, that is a thing that if you like first editions, I would peruse that weekly because things turn up there that are, I think, probably more valuable than what we're selling them for.
When I was leaving on Friday night, John was inputting some more used books for the collection. So if it wasn't picked over the weekend, however, he did like, I think, half of a library cart full of used stuff. Nice.
Yeah.
Getting ready for Christmas.
Yes.
Holidays. Yay. Yeah. So the what we're saying here is, you don't have to spend $35 to buy a great gift. This is the COVID era. Maybe you are not employed right now. Maybe you are living off of unemployment. Mm-hmm. We have options for you.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We definitely have some options for every budget, basically.
And if you're a zillionaire, we can spend that money too.
Come on in and spend all of your money with us. We will happily help you spend your money.
That's right.
Oh, man. Let's take a swerve because we're probably going to come back and talk more about holiday stuff. But let's just jump in and talk about some of the books we've been reading. Let's get some titles out there. What have you guys been reading?
This weekend, I started rereading a book called Interior Chinatown, a novel by Charles Yu.
It just won the National Book Award.
So I'm rereading it because it won the National Book Award and it's fabulous. So I'll read you a description.
Nice.
Willis Wu doesn't perceive himself as the protagonist of his own life. He is merely a generic Asian man. Sometimes he gets to be background Oriental, making a weird face, or even disgraced son. But always he is regulated to a prop in every movie. Yet every day he leaves his tiny room in a Chinatown SRO and enters the Golden Palace restaurant, where Black and White, a procedural cop show, is in perpetual production. He's a bit player there too, but he dreams of being Kung Fu Guy, the most respected role that anyone who looks like him can attain, or is it? After stumbling into the spotlight, Willis finds himself launched into a wider world than he has ever known, discovering not only the secret history of Chinatown, but the buried legacy of his own family. indefinitely inventive and deeply personal, exploring the themes of pop culture, assimilation, and immigration, Interior Chinatown is Charles Yu's most moving, daring, and masterful novel yet. That's the back of the cover of the hardcover edition that I have at home. Mm. It is, it's very, it's, you know, it's an own reads type of book. It reads very quick. It talks about Asian stereotypes in a way that I had never really thought about it as a white woman, not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. And it's really well paced. It's really well done. And it's darkly funny. Mm. And it can, with books that have this type of stereotyping in it, and they're trying to be funny, it can really go either way. And this book does a really good job of keeping you entertained, laughing, but also making you think of the stereotypes that you see, especially in media. I'm a huge fan of Kung Fu movies and other types of Asian cinema, and I never really thought about how I perceive or take that in as a white woman growing up watching these movies. And this book is so, it totally deserved the National Book Award because it's just, it's so beautifully written and it's freaking hilarious. And I feel like everybody should be reading this book, especially if you're a huge movie fan.
I've heard the form is that it's actually written as a screenplay. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are bits in the book that are written as a screenplay in conjunction with talking about the history of Chinatown and the history of this fictional character's family. And it's just really, it's really good. Obviously, because it won the National Book Award, but I'm awesome. Putting my seal of approval on that. Definitely well deserved, well won. The second book that I started reading is pretty short. It's called Ring Shout.
I want to read that so bad.
My soon-to-be daughter-in-law picked that up when she was in Gibson's recently and was very excited about that book.
The reason why I originally picked it up is that it's very tiny, and I don't know about you.
I was holding it up sideways, showing us how thin.
It's so tiny. Like half an inch.
It's about 130 something pages. It's very short. You can get through it in like a Saturday, a weekend, if you've got really nothing to do. And for me, during this time of year, I start reading books that are shorter and shorter because, like, I just feel like
day length?
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it's day length.
Corresponds with, like, the light outside.
Oh, my gosh. I lived in a place for most of my life where, like, it was dark, like, for 3 months of the year all the time. And I'm still not used to the sun going down at 4:30 in the afternoon. It's driving me bananas.
You're more a Scandi lady.
I know, it's pain in the butt. So the reason why I usually pick shorter books in the winter is because, you know, Christmas retail, it gets bananas. So I start to read shorter books because sometimes I just don't have the attention span of like when it's, you know, summertime. So this book is fabulous. It's called Ring Shout by P. Jelly Clark. The D is silent. Mm-hmm. I read it on his Instagram page, his FAQs.
Nice.
It is, oh my gosh, it's such a short book, but it packs such a major punch. Mm-hmm. It's like if, so the Ku Klux Klan back in the 1930s, instead of them being, you know, regular white supremacist backwards bananas people, are actually like demons. They like transform into these like giant blood-sucking, nasty, awful, like pits of hell, demon-like creatures. And there are three black women who are the major characters in the story, and one of them has a sword that kind of like is like the Thor's hammer. She like can magically create it into her hands by all of the dead slaves that have ever like been seeped down from justice. And like she just slays these demons throughout the whole book. with her two like main female characters. And just like, it is like watching, it's when I read it, it was like reading like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer mixed with like every single Tarantino movie I'd ever seen. It's just like this bloody, disgusting, like superhero kind of feel to it.
I want the movie version.
This I keep reading this and it was just so good. So I picked this up because somebody was talking about it during the NHPR holiday show. And it was like, yeah, let's do it. And I've been wanting to pick it up anyways, but I was like, okay, sold. And I'm so glad I did. It's amazing.
That's so good.
It's very well written, obviously. But it's also, it talks about a lot of the culture at the time. They have like a mention of like what Sundown Town was. They talk about Birth of a Nation, but Birth of a Nation in this timeline, kind of like brainwashed white folks into becoming these giant monsters of hate. They talk about like what an actual shout is, which is part of some African-American cultures. It is very well researched. It's very well done, but it is like awesome as hell. Slaying vampires. It's a fun ride. Highly recommend it, especially if you like horror books or, you know, if you're one of those, like, you really liked gory Quentin Tarantino movies or like you just like badass black chicks with swords, you know, just. It's fun.
Check.
I'm into it. I can't wait.
That's definitely on my list.
That's Ring Shout.
Ring Shout.
By P. Jelly Clark.
I think I have that on my Libro FM. It sounds like it might be a really good.
I'll have to check if we.
Audio book.
And like, it's a really big shot in the dark, but if anybody is listening who's into the movie industry, please make this into like a TV series or a movie, because it would just be so awesome. If you liked Lovecraft Country that was on HBO, this is kind of like a perfect send-off to jump into something else. It's so, oh my gosh, I can't stop talking about this book. Okay. I promise you I'm done. That is what I've been reading this weekend.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's so funny. I follow a lot of booksellers on Twitter, and there was like a flood of people talking about Ring Shout like a week or so ago. And I was like, what is this? What I need? Hold on. What is this? It's like frantically searching.
It has the creepiest cover.
Yeah.
Really scary looking.
It's a great cover. Hillary, what have you been reading?
Well, let's see. I've been reading multiple things, but the particular ones I brought tonight are ones I think might make really good holiday gifts for various different people. The first one, which was kind of flying underneath my radar, and then all of a sudden it came out last week and we had multiple pre-orders for it, which is a good signal that paid attention to the book, is a cartoon collection called A Wealth of Pigeons by Harry Bliss and Steve Martin. So Steve Martin, as we all know, you know, the famous comic.
The Steve Martin you're thinking of. It's him.
Yeah, it's him. One from, you know, Two Wild and Crazy Guys. That is Steve Martin. Apparently has spent many years coming up with ideas for cartoons, but he doesn't draw. And so he really wanted to find someone to partner with. And somebody at the New Yorker hooked him up with Harry Bliss, who is a cartoonist and a cover artist for the New Yorker, who happens to live in New Hampshire, because we have lots of artists here. Harry Bliss lives in Cornish and actually runs the CCS Residency Fellowship for Graphic Novelists there. As well as being a well-known cartoonist. He's syndicated, he does covers for the New Yorker. He's awesome. And the two of them got together to put this book out, and Harry Bliss illustrated it, and Steve Martin came up with the ideas. But much more than that, this is it's kind of like a memoir of a friendship. Mm. Many, many, many of the cartoons are about Harry Bliss and Steve Martin navigating this partnership, aww, where they're kind of making fun of each other in their heads. You know, like there's this great one where Steve Martin is saying, it was like, and then there was the time that Keanu Reeves fell into my giant hot tub. And Harry Bliss is responding with, well, I saw Ed Begley Jr. from a distance once. But there are all of these wonderful cartoons of them walking in the countryside. And Steve Martin is saying, this is so amazing for people who could appreciate it, which is not me. if you love dogs, there are the most hilarious dog cartoons in here. I'm going to show you this one. Ripped up couch. One dog on the couch, one dog on the floor. The door is opening and the caption is, quick, act casual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is my you know about that. Dog.
But what I kept thinking is, this is the kind of gentle, sweet, unchallenging humor that is perfect for my mother. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a way like my mother is not, my mother's a very smart woman. Mm-hmm. I just think we live in this era of COVID. It is very, very, very hard for many people right now. You can't be around your family. You're lonely. You have a sense of humor and you're intelligent. Like, this book is going to make you feel kind of warm and fuzzy and laugh at the same time.
Yeah.
Highly recommend this as a holiday gift. Mm-hmm. And especially for people in New Hampshire, because there are many, many cartoons in here that are particular to New Hampshire, which you will realize if you read it. So
that's fun. Harry
and Steve Martin, it's just lovely. We had signed copies of it, but unfortunately they sold out instantly.
Yeah, well, I mean, or fortunately, quite frankly.
Yeah, I know. I was really jealous when I decided, like when I realized I wanted to buy it, it was like, don't we have one of those? And it was like, nope, they're all gone because people smartly pre-ordered it, mm-hmm, which is a good message, people. If there's something out there that you think you might want, if you pre-order it from us, you will get swag to come with it.
True. And very often,
so it could be anything from like a bag with the printed cover on it, or a pin, or a mm-hmm bookmark, or a signed copy. So yeah, get order in ahead of time if you know you want something, and you can often get something really wonderful.
Yeah, more and more publishers are sending lovely things to go with pre-orders to indie bookstores specifically to encourage people to order them from indie bookstores. So yeah, you never know.
Ask for it. And also, if you call in to order something, don't be afraid to say, do you have a signed copy? We very often do have signed copies, and they do not cost any more money than the regular book. It's the same amount of money, and we very often have them.
Yeah, we have a list currently on our website. We try to keep it updated. Sometimes we fall behind a little bit, but we do have a list where you can browse our signed books and our signed book plates. And chances are, if you are ordering a book from us, if we have a signed copy, we're going to grab the signed copy before an unsigned copy. So, you know, but yeah, never hesitate to ask because you never know.
Next one is Moonflower Murders by Anthony Horowitz.
Nice.
Anthony Horowitz is the man who is a television screenwriter who wrote Foyle's War, which you may have seen on PBS, and Midsummer Murders on PBS. Those two shows are really terrific mystery shows. And he also writes the Alex Rider series, which is a YA series.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like a, what would you call it? Like a thriller mystery kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
But he has written a whole bunch of mysteries, not a whole bunch, several in this series where it's metafiction in the sense that Anthony Horowitz always appears in these books as himself.
Oh,
so he'd be
fun.
Talking about, I'm writing Foyle's War, I'm writing Midsummer Murders, I've been working on my latest Alex Rider book. And then he gets sucked into a murder and a mystery and he solves it. The first one that he did was Magpie Murders was the first one.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the word is murder and the sentence is death. And this is the next one, Moonflower Murders. And the thing that he does with these books, there's if you are a lover of murder mysteries, especially if you've read a lot of classic murder mysteries, he sends them up in these books. And so he has, there's a character who was in, I think it might have been Magpie Murders, whose name was Alan Conway. Alan Conway had tried to be a literary writer. People made fun of his writing, said he was terrible. And so he went and read all of Agatha Christie's books and then figured out the formula and sat down and began writing Agatha Christie style novels and became super duper famous.
Nice.
And right before his ninth book was about to come out, he commits suicide, apparently. And the last chapter of the book is missing. And so his editor is sent to find this last chapter of the book. So that was the plot of that book. And so you have the story of this author committing suicide and his editor trying to find the last chapter. And then within that, you get all the chapters of the book that are available. And it's a terrible book. I mean, if you read mysteries and you read the book, you're like, oh, this is like bad Agatha Christie, but it's also hilarious. So that was Magpie Mysteries. So in this book, Moonflower Murders, the editor who has run away from England and gone and is living in Greece and running a hotel gets called back to England because a woman has gone missing. And the woman who has gone missing is the daughter of the family who owns a hotel, which was the basis for one of Alan Conway, the deceased author's books, his third book.
Oh.
And she has said to her parents, okay, the guy that, so there really was somebody killed in their hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And this author went in and fictionalized it. And the daughter of the couple who actually own the hotel says, I just reread the book. The person who got sent to jail for this is not guilty. Hmm. I know who did it. I know what happened. And then she vanishes.
What?
So they go to Greece and they get the editor of the book, which was his third book. And they say, come back, come to our hotel, reread the book and figure out what happened. Tell us what you got to find our daughter for us.
Oh my God.
So the first 227 pages of this book is that story. The editor comes back to the hotel and tries to figure out what happens. The next 230 odd pages is the novel. And then the rest of it is the conclusion and what happens, right?
Oh.
It is so, like, I'm not going to say this is great literature, but I'm going to say it's super clever. It's super smart. It is so fun to read. Anybody you know who loves mysteries is really going to like this book. It's very engaging. It's hard to put down once you start it.
Hmm.
Great holiday gift. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's high on my list for holiday.
I love it.
Sean okay. is reading the first in that series right now. I gave it to him because I saw the second book and he really likes kind of those Agatha Christie, murder mysteries. And like, he's really enjoying the format of like a book within a book.
That's so cool.
It's a lot of fun. It'll be really good for people who, you always get customers that come in, they're like, I really want to read a nice murder mystery, like where there's disappearances or maybe there's a body, but it's not too gruesome. This is the perfect type of book for that. It harkens back to like a golden age of mystery mm-hmm. novels.
Yeah, it's sort of cozy thing. Yeah. You know, yeah. where it's within an enclosed space. Mm-hmm. It's not too brutal. It's not like those, like, you know, Scandinavian mysteries. Kelso's cracking up. When I first met Kelso, Kelso was like, yes, I am from Scandinavia. And I've read those books in mm-hmm. their original languages. And yeah, they're brutal. Yeah. So if you're not someone who likes, like, if you hate Joe Nesbo, this is the book for you.
It's the anti-Nesbo. Yeah.
Anti-Nesbo. Exactly. So and then I don't want to take up too much time, but I'm going to say two more quickly. This one, Black Sun by Rebecca Roanhorse, is a wonderful fantasy novel written by an Indigenous woman who has several other books. Actually, she's well known as a really great writer of some of the Star Wars books.
Mm-hmm.
She's one that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah. And cool. She's got a couple of YA books, Trail of Lightning, Storm of Locusts.
Oh, okay.
Right. And let's see, she wrote Star Wars, Resistance Reborn, and Race to the Sun.
Cool.
So she is a woman who is Nebula, Hugo, and Locus Award nominated and winning. And this book is based in the history and mythology of Indigenous North American people around 1000 AD
mm-hmm.
in like Mexico to north of Mexico. There was a large city in Illinois around between 1000 and 1300 AD, just east of St. Louis, that was bigger than London was at that time. Thousands and thousands of people living in this community with huge earthworks, you know, pyramids built up. They've left behind amazing artifacts, pieces of art. They died out very quickly and very suddenly. Nobody really knows why, but they had, and their mythology isn't very well understood, but it all seems to link back into Mayan mythology. So she kind of melds all of this together, and she actually lives in the Southwest. I think she lives in, let's see, what does it say here? She lives in New Mexico. So she kind of centers it down in the Southwest. But it is this incredible story about these different clans with different magical abilities, and a society that has reached its pinnacle and is about to fall apart. I'm not describing it very well. I'm only about a third of the way in, but I would just say it is a very smart, really hard to put down book with wonderful female characters, for one. Also, very interesting, it's an LGBTQ book, you know, mm-hmm. People, like I was telling Ryan today, I was listening to the recording of it, and I didn't understand the pronouns. And what I realized was what I think of as she and jer was being pronounced she and sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, so these non-binary pronouns are mm-hmm. used in it. But it's all like palace intrigue mm. plus magic. Plus giant flying creatures.
Amazing.
So really great combination of historical fiction, history you didn't know, and fantasy, and written by an Indigenous woman. So I'm loving it, highly recommending it. And then I'm just going to very quickly say one last thing, because last time I talked about cookbooks, but this one came out after we had our discussion. I just have to recommend one more wonderful baking book. It's called A Good Bake, The Art and Science of Making Perfect Pastries, Cakes, Cookies, Pies, and Breads at Home by Melissa Weller. And I made something out of this. It was called Buckwheat Queen Anon, which are these, they're almost like sticky buns, but they're sticky buns that are caramelized in the most amazing ways. They're almost like candy. It probably took me 2 days to make them, and it probably took me 5 minutes to eat them. if there's someone in your life that is a baker or a wannabe baker, this is a book that takes you through all of the most intricate, difficult parts of being a baker, holds your hand, and gets you to make things like puff pastry and complicated things, plus very simple things like brownies. Nice. Just beautiful. The recipes are delicious. And so for the cookbook person in your life, A Good Bake by Melissa Weller.
Gonna awesome. Need that. Gonna need that right now. I might buy that tomorrow. When Sean, if you're listening, you know what you're getting for Christmas now. Bake me some Queen Amon, please.
Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I have this huge stack of books in front of me because I attended virtual NEBA last month, and instead of going into their giant room full of ARCs, there were like Google Forms you would fill out, you would request books. And so I keep getting book mail at the bookstore, and I have all of these books.
Some of which you sent my way. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. but there are so many books that I'm like, oh yeah, I wanted to read that. Oh yeah, I wanted to read that. Oh yeah, I wanted to read that. So I won't go into depth on most of them because I haven't started them yet, but I will shout out some titles. But first, I did finish both Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers and Plain Bad Heroines by Emily M. Danforth.
Yay!
Both were incredible in such different ways. Honey Girl was so beautiful and sweet, and it's just like this gorgeous queer romance, and these just, it's just, I can't even, it's just so warm and sweet, and but it's also like, in addition to being this really lovely romance, it's also a really interesting look at so the main character is a perfectionist, and things aren't going perfectly for the first time in her life. Like, her plan isn't happening. It's not working. And so she's grappling with this like crisis in her life. It's not a midlife crisis. She's very young, but it's like on that level of like, who am I if not this that I always thought? Like, she's just gotten her PhD in astronomy, and she's like, the job that she goes for that her mentor has been training her for and talking her up and all the stuff. She sets up the interview and she goes in and doesn't get the job. And so she's like, who am I? What is my life path? I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on anymore. It's this really interesting like juxtaposition of like dealing with this crippling like anxiety and my life is falling apart, and also like I'm falling in love with this stranger who I married. Like, it's just it's so good. It's so good. That comes out next year. Everyone needs to pre-order it. It is so beautiful. Oh, I love it. That's Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers. And then Plain Bad Heroines, which we've talked a bit about on the podcast. Just so good. Such a great book. Creepy. If you like horror movies, there's a really cool horror movie element overlaid through the whole thing, which is really fun. The ghost story is great. The characters are awesome. I love the way it kind of bounces around in time. It's just awesome. I want
The social media thing of part of it.
Yeah. Is
really. Like maybe you guys don't see it as much because you're so much younger than
we're in it.
Yeah, right. You're in it. I am 72 years old. I am not like a social media person. I kind of like avoid it. And so like it is so much about how social media can just take over your life. And
true. Yeah.
Like the hornets in that book. You know, I mean, there's a hornet metaphor. You'll get it if you read it.
There's a whole thing about yellow jackets.
But also about being virally famous because there's a character from the 19th century who is a viral phenom, right? To the point of where people are accusing her of causing the deaths of other.
Yeah.
You know, it is so complicated and so layered and so smart. I am a person who is not a social media person, but I'm also a literature person in that, like, this is so much about Gothic literature.
Yes.
It's also about 19th century feminism.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about queer awakening,
mm-hmm.
Like sort of yellow wallpaper, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. era. It is... I just think this book is magnificent.
Good.
Nobody's ever going to put it up for the National Book Award because it's like a genre book.
Mm.
But this book is so freaking smart.
It is.
Danforth, go you. As a person who like reads a lot of literary fiction, I am in awe of Emily Danforth.
Yeah. It's really great. I loved it so much. I want it to be adapted into a movie. Like I want to watch the movie that they make in the book. Like I just, I need it. I need it. I need it in my life.
Or like a Netflix thing. I think it would be
good as a series. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting. So that was fantastic. immediately upon finishing that, I was so stuck in the horror vein. It was like, you know, bleeding out from Halloween and like finishing this book about like a horror movie. So I listened to The Omen by David Seltzer, like the original Omen, which they keep re-releasing. It's been re-released like two or three times, which is hilarious to me. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We got an advanced listening copy of it on Libra FM.
How is it?
It's great. It's, you know, it's The Omen.
It's classic. Features in in Playing Bad Heroines when they talk about cursed movies.
Mm-hmm.
And all the terrible things that happened to people who worked on The Omen, which I did not know.
Yes. Like, and like it was interesting because I knew about all of the crazy things from The Exorcist filming. But I had forgotten that The Omen is like the most cursed movie. That like people were dying and all of these horrible injuries.
It's terrible.
It's like, really, really scary.
Girlfriend dies in some horrible way.
I think so. Yeah. It's but yeah, so that was fun ? To listen to. Fun for me. so that was, you know, great. You know, and for those who like are not familiar with The Omen, it's the one with Damien. You probably know the name Damien. It's some evil priests switch a baby at birth, and it is the Antichrist. It is the son of the devil, and it is, you know, he's grown up and he's real evil. Oh, and people are dying all around him. What's so interesting to me about The Omen is that the kid himself is not a bad kid. He's not necessarily like physically doing evil things, but people around him are dying. And it's just, it's great and creepy and awesome. And I love it.
Okay. Can I just also say,
yeah,
if you read The Omen, you must balance it out with Good Omen.
Yes. Oh, I was just about to bring that up. Oh, I love Good Omen so much.
And you know what? If you have to choose between the two,
go with Good Omens.
Skip The Omen and go with Good Omens.
Go with Good Omens. Oh.
By Neil Gaiman and Terry and the late, great, beloved, best person ever,
Oh,
beloved of my heart, Terry Pratchett. Good Omen is hilarious. It is the Omen, only it's a satirical version of the Omen with like a super funny ending.
It's like the Damien gets raised by this like just normal family, and his like he's just like a normal kid. His hellhound is just like this cute little scraggly puppy. it's you have these two, an angel and a demon, and they're sort of coming together to actually stop the apocalypse from happening. And
use them right now.
Yes, God, I love Good Omens. It was adapted into a series starring David Tennant and was it Michael Sheen who was in it?
Yes.
Yeah. And gosh, it was delightful, and I love Good Omens so much.
I also will say that the recorded version of it is great.
It must be fantastic. I haven't listened to it.
It is so good. I've listened to it maybe 5 times.
I love it. Whenever I love Good Omens.
I listen to it again.
That's fantastic. Another thing that I am reading right now, which I am so excited for, is the new McElroy book. It's called Everybody Has a Podcast Except You. It's by Justin McElroy, Travis McElroy, and Griffin McElroy, with cameos from their wives. Guys, it's so good. All right.
Arcs of this, or do we have to just get it?
Oh, you just get it.
I'm just going to get it, but I want to know how is it?
It is fantastic. Okay, so background for our listeners who may not be familiar with the McElroy family, because I sometimes forget that not everyone lives in my brain.
I'm old and I know who they are.
The McElroy brothers, they have a podcast called My Brother, My Brother and Me. They also have a billion other podcasts, The Adventure Zone and Wonderful, and they have so many podcasts. They are the first family of podcasting. They've been doing this for over a decade now, and our listeners, our exceptional listeners, will know that I interviewed Clint McElroy earlier this year. Thank you very much. That is their dad. And this book is it's a how-to book. It's an informative guide to podcasting with really valuable information in it, but it's also got the McElroy humor. Their voices come through so strongly in the little sections that they write, and it's funny and informative. And I am very proud to say that thus far, everything I've read, every piece of advice that they have given for setting up your podcast, naming your podcast, getting it, recording it, editing it, publishing it, this podcast has checked every single box. Thank you very much.
Is all you, Ryan.
Down to the literal microphone that I am currently using. They shout out this microphone. They shout out Audacity, which is the software that I use. Hilariously, Griffin, who edits My Brother and Me, he uses Audacity. And the other two brothers are like, why would you ever use this terrible program that crashes all the time? And Griffin's like, listen, it crashes like sometimes. Don't worry about it. And I was dying laughing because, dear listeners, every time I add the music to the beginning and end of the podcast, Audacity crashes every single time. But every other part of it works perfectly. So you know what? I suck it up, and I know that I save right before I put in the music.
Well, we could just sing that music. We could just be like, I could do that.
Exactly.
We always go, goodbye. We always harm
We can do it. But yes, it is fantastic.
Okay, definitely. I just also have to say, my idea for the name of this podcast was Plaid Tuesday.
That's true. So background on that.
Nobody's ever going to understand.
No one's going to know. Yeah. See, and this is why we didn't name it this, because no one would understand this reference. However, so the backstory of Plaid Tuesday was that when our former coworker Taffy when she worked with us, she started wearing plaid every Tuesday. I think it was like an accident for the first, like,
Monday. Was it plaid?
It was plaid Monday, wasn't it? It was plaid Monday.
Monday, yeah.
It was by accident for a really, really long time. It was just sort of coincidence that every Monday she'd come in wearing plaid. And then it was like, there were a couple of Mondays where like our coworker Brian was also wearing plaid. And then,
but it was if you got, because all the boxes came in.
Well, that started, yeah. That's why Taffy wore it, because she was the receiver. And so she would wear plaid because she didn't care if her shirt got dirty or whatever. But then like the rest of us were doing it coincidentally. We'd come in and be like, oh, we're all wearing plaid. And we also had Stripey Thursdays. Yeah. By the end of Taffy's reign at Gibson's, we had a different clothing thing for every day. So we never had to think about it.
She was queen, we will say.
She was Queen Taffy.
Yes, Queen Taffy.
Hi, Taffy. Shout out to Taffy.
We love you. We miss you.
Taffy, bring Batai to visit. We miss Batai. Okay. Batai is her beautiful, beautiful Rhodesian Ridgeback, who used to be our bookstore dog. For those of you who remember Batai, they're living out. They're doing their own thing somewhere else. But yeah, we had like plaid Monday. I forget what Tuesday was. We had Stripey Thursdays. We had book t-shirt Friday. Yeah. It was like a Friday, whole thing. Yeah. It was a whole thing. We had a whole week's worth of outfits. We never had to think about what we needed to wear because it was like, well, it's Monday, so I'm wearing plaid today. So we almost named the podcast Plaid Monday.
But which wouldn't have been so bad.
I like the lay down.
I like the lay down.
No, I think. Like just in terms of your mouth, it's like the lay down.
Yeah, it works. It sounds good.
Yay.
Hilarious. So yes, everyone go pre-order. Everybody has a podcast except you. This is a book that you can give it to the McElroy fan in your life. You can give it to the podcast fan in your life. You can give it to that friend who never, ever stops talking. And everyone always says, you should just have a podcast. And they're like, I don't even know what I would talk about. Get it for them. It's fantastic. I am loving it so deeply. It is fantastic. I'm just, you know, I want a lot
of people to give this book to the elderly people in their lives, because it's a way of recording history.
Oh yeah.
And it is not, once you figure out how to do it, it's not that hard to do. It is important, especially in the time of COVID when people are dropping dead quickly, mm-hmm. that for elderly people who are isolated right now, this is a way to reach out to your, like, it could be a podcast just for your family.
Totally.
You know, this is like, we should empower elders to pick up their computer and do this stuff.
You can do it on your computer. You can do it on your phone.
Looking at me like I'm crazy.
But no. 100%. No, I'm thinking about how they actually talk in the book about how easy it is to record a podcast, especially with just like the technology we have. You can record and edit a whole podcast from your phone. You don't need fancy equipment, right? Like it's nice if you have it, but you don't need it. I think that's a great idea.
Records, like you could be stuck in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. You can record this and send it on your phone to your great nephew and get him to deal with it.
Totally. I love it. Yes. So that is Everybody Has a Podcast, Except You by Justin McElroy, Travis McElroy, and Griffin McElroy. Goodness gracious. It is fantastic. I cannot say enough good things. Please pre-order it. Because secretly I want it to do really well at our bookstore so that I can have them on the podcast. Thank you very much. Okay. Not so secretly, I guess.
Have copies of it and distribute it to the local nursing homes.
Yes. What else am I reading? I just started listening to a book called Sensation Machines by Adam Wilson, which is a pretty interesting book about, it's a novel that sort of meshes together technology and Wall Street and a murder mystery. It's yeah, it is not sort of the book I would normally pick up because it's not fantasy. but it's good. It's set in the not too distant future. And there's a husband and wife whose marriage is failing. And for a variety of reasons, they've lost a child. He has lost their entire fortune. Like they were like one percenters and he lost everything. And so their marriage is failing, and the husband's best friend is murdered during a hashtag Occupy riot. So folks who are like very anti-Wall Street are rioting, and this guy's best friend gets murdered.
I think I started reading this.
Yeah, it is. It's good. It's really interesting. It is. I'm maybe a third of the way through, but I'm enjoying it so far. It's very good. So that is Sensation Machines by Adam Wilson. And then I have this whole stack of books in front of me, but the one that I want to just very quickly grab from the stack, because I am so excited for this book. And our coworker Joe was kind enough to lend me their very, very early uncorrected manuscript of a book called A Marvelous Light by Freya Marsk. This is going to be a big book next year. It is a queer fantasy. It is, speaking of Good Omens, it's got a little bit of that like Good Omens vibe to it. And a little bit of the, it's got like the world building level of like a Susanna Clarke book. So like a Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell meets Good Omens plus just like queer fantasy. Oh, it comes out next November. So I have this a full year in advance. And I'm very excited for it. It's going to be huge, I think. So keep an eye out. I don't even think it's available for pre-order yet. That's how early this copy is. But as soon as it's available for pre-order, I will remind everyone, get those orders in. That is A Marvelous Light by Freya Marsk. I'm so excited. And then, yeah, I'm just looking at the stack that I got in a bound manuscript. I think, Kelso, you got this too. Animal by Lisa Tadeo,
yeah.
Who Kelso and I both met a couple years ago. She wrote Three Women, which we both adored. And so the publisher sent us her new book, Animal, which I have not yet cracked open, but I'm very excited to read because I love Lisa Tadeo. I have the new Rachel Bloom book, I Want to Be Where the Normal People Are, which is a collection of essays. It's sort of like her memoir, but as essays. And I was cracking up when this book came in for me because it's a very like 80s, 90s.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
paperback.
That.
Like it looks a little bit like a Babysitter's Club style cover. It is adorable. I got in Animal Wife, which, Kelso, did you read Animal Wife? I can't remember.
I did. Yeah. It's very, very good.
Yeah, short stories, mm-hmm. Super great. I got in The Scapegracers, which I know Kelso loved, which I finally got my arc of that. That is by Hannah Abigail Clark. That's another one that booksellers all over the country are screaming about constantly. A book called Amari and the Knight Brothers, which is, I believe, youth fiction. And it's the blurb on the back says it's Harry Potter meets Men in Black. And I'm so excited for it. It's diverse and beautiful and full of magic and fun. And then two more. I got a book called The Midnight Garden by C.L. Polk. Which
good, yeah,
it's supposed to be super good. I'm really excited to read that. There's another fantasy for you. And then
Witchmark was the
yeah Witchmark, yep. And then finally, I was very excited that my publisher rep sent me the new Ruth Ware book, One by One. Yeah, I adore Ruth Ware. She writes these amazing little cozy mysteries that are thriller, as they're like a little bit scarier than like an Agatha Christie, but they all take place in like one little room, and they're really fun, and she always gets me. I always think I know how it's going to end, and then she gets me right at the end. So yeah, that is my huge stack right now of books that I'm like, I can't decide what I'm going to read next.
Yeah, can I talk about two arcs that I'm very excited about?
Yeah, what do you have?
Several years ago, I had The Rise and Fall of Dodo by Neal Stephenson and Nicole Galland as one of my staff picks, which was this bonkers time travel, crazy thriller mystery. It was hilarious. I just loved it. It was delightful. And Nicole Galland, on her own, without Neal Stephenson, has written a follow-up to it called Master of the Revels. And cool. So it's a sequel. And this is coming out in February 2021. I just started it. It seems just as delightful as the first one. There are witches, there are crazy Vikings who raid Walmart through time travel
and got
weapons to take back in time.
Amazing. Yeah. I love it. I'm sold. Yeah. That's all you needed to say.
Dodo was hilarious and smart and super fat, you can see. And this one is also super fat. But I just started it. I'm really excited about it. And then it's kind of very different from that is the new Viet Thanh Nguyen follow-up to The Sympathizer.
Yes.
Which was the Pulitzer Prize winner in fiction in 2016. This is called The Committed. And this is about the same main character from The Sympathizer who flees to Paris and becomes a drug dealer.
Whoa.
And at the beginning of the book, he has two bullet holes in his head. And he is telling how he got to this place where he's got two bullet holes in his head.
Yikes on bite.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Anybody, I love Viet Thanh Nguyen said, how do you pronounce my name? Rhyme it with win-win.
Nguyen. All right. Nguyen. I'm into it.
He is very smart. He is also a knife to the heart.
Mm.
Very hard books to read. But he's just an unbelievably brilliant, important writer. Mm. So, and this one's coming out in March.
Awesome.
So, those are my two.
That's great. So before we wrap up, I know we've been talking for a long time now, but we will start wrapping up. So this week we have Plaid Friday. So the indie world version of Black Friday is Plaid Friday. So come on into the store, get your discount if you wear plaid or say plaid. We're not picky.
We will make you say
plaid. We will literally have a sign that says say the secret word. The secret word is plaid, and we'll make you read it out loud so that you get your discount. Like, we're going to force the discount on you because we love you. So come on in, get some holiday shopping done on Plaid Friday. Saturday is Small Business Saturday, so consider supporting a small business like Gibson's on Saturday. And then I did want to shout out, Libra FM has a really cool promotion going on. So if between November 25th and November 30th, you spend at least $15 at Gibson's bookstore and you'll submit your receipt, your proof of purchase to Libra FM, and there will be instructions on their website on how to do that. If you do that, you will receive one of their best-selling audiobooks of 2020. So this starts on the 25th. They have not yet announced what their top audiobooks are, so we'll find out more on November 25th. They'll tell us what the audiobooks are that you'll be able to choose from, which I'm really excited to see what the top selling audiobooks were this year. It's always fun to see that. There's always a really cool like variety of genre and target audience and all that good stuff. But yeah, you can go to shoplocalbookstores.com that's kind of like the hub of where they have all the information for this special promotion. We will also be talking about it on our social media, so you can keep an eye out for that. But it's a really cool thing. If you spend $15 or more at Gibson's, you get a free audiobook. How cool is that? And of course, you know, just as a reminder, if you use our code LAYDOWN at checkout, you get 3 credits for the price of one. So let's see. What else? Do we have any? I feel like we have some events coming up, actually.
December 7th. Book club, The Cold Millions. Speaking of an audiobook that is worth listening to, oh my goodness. I think there's 7 different actors who do that book. It is phenomenal. But reading the book is incredible too.
Yeah. Anybody who listened to Michael on the Exchange Holiday Book Show on NHPR heard him talk about The Cold Millions as his favorite book of the year. We have on December 1st, friend of the bookstore, Mike Pride, with Storm Over Key West. That's at 7.
Mike Pride used to be my editor at the Concord Monitor.
Yeah.
He is a super fastidious researcher, excellent writer. He's written several books now, and they're all worth reading. And I haven't read this one yet, but I'm looking forward to it. That is going to be a really good event. I really encourage people to tune into it.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. And then the next night, December 2nd, we have An Evening of Politics, A User's Guide to Democracy with Learning from Loss, which should be an interesting one. And then, like Hillary said, the 7th is book club. These are all virtual. Go to our website or our Facebook page to find how you get the links to view those. It's all through like ticketing through Eventbrite, and then the actual events are through Zoom. So that is on our website, on our events calendar, and also all over our Facebook. We're constantly posting. I think that's everything. So without further ado, you can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll put those links in the show notes, along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. And we also have a new thing on our website. We have all of the episode lists of books compiled. I spent an entire day doing this thing on the website. It's called Shop the Laydown. You can select which episode you want to look at the books from. You click on it, and it's got every book we talked about during that episode in a shoppable list. You're welcome. It's great and organized, and it's right on our homepage on the website. I'm so proud of it.
I was going to make a display of it, and then I realized it was hundreds.
Yeah, it's so 2 years worth.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
Yeah, Hillary was like, "Oh, I'll just pick a few. I'll just make a display." I was like, "This is 2 years worth of podcasts."
It's like, no, you are not.
No.
500 books here.
It's so many. But yes, it's a nice little shoppable list organized by episode, which is very just so nice to look at. So anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye.